Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep on 2 Timothy.
We are.
But we're not just like reading it, you know.
Right.
We've got a whole academic lecture breaking down chapter 1.
Yeah.
And this thing gets intense. I mean,
it does. This lecture really digs deep into the text.
Yeah.
Analyzing, you know, word frequencies in the historical context, and even like the emotional weight behind Paul's words to Timothy.
Yeah. And we've got a biblical studies scholar with us today to kind of unpack all this. I'm so ready for some aha moments here.
Well, me too.
What were some of the things that just like jumped out at you in this lecture?
Well, one thing that really struck me was, you know, Paul's repeated emphasis on having a clear conscience.
Yeah.
And it turns out that this wasn't just some kind of general moral statement.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually directly tied to accusations that he was facing about betraying his Jewish faith by following Jesus.
Wow. So he's really addressing that head on.
He is.
I hadn't thought about it that way. That's really interesting. Before we jump into that, can you give us like a little bit of context for where 2 Timothy fits in the whole big picture of the Bible?
Sure. Yeah, this letter is part of what's known as the pastoral epistles, which also includes 1 Timothy and Titus. And while there is some debate about the authorship of these letters, 2 Timothy is considered the most likely to have been actually written by Paul because of its really personal tone.
Yeah, it really does read like a letter from like a mentor to a beloved student.
Yes.
Almost like a spiritual father-son kind of dynamic.
Exactly. And I think understanding that relationship is really key to kind of unlocking the emotional depth of this letter. Paul isn't just like laying down the law here.
Yeah.
He's pouring his heart out to Timothy, knowing that he may not have much time left.
Yeah, that just makes his words so much more powerful. So, okay, let's talk about that opening greeting. You know, it's not just like a casual, hey, Timothy. There's a lot packed into those first few verses.
Yeah, there is. Right from the start, Paul emphasizes his apostolic authority despite all the hardships that he's faced. He even compares himself and the other apostles to earthen vessels.
Earthen vessels. Okay, that's a pretty unique metaphor.
Yeah.
What do you think he's trying to get across there?
Yeah, well, it's a powerful image of like vulnerability and strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earthen vessels are fragile, easily broken,
mm-hmm.
but they hold valuable things.
Right.
And I think Paul is acknowledging his own human weakness while also affirming the importance of his mission.
So despite all of the persecution and suffering that he's endured, he's still clinging to that sense of purpose.
Absolutely. And notice how he addresses Timothy as my dear son. He's using covenant language, drawing a parallel between their relationship and the relationship between God and his people.
Yeah, it really highlights that personal connection, that deep bond of love and shared faith. And then there's this recurring theme of life that runs throughout the letter. You mentioned that earlier. And it's especially poignant given that Paul is likely facing death, right?
Exactly. Even though his earthly life is nearing its end, Paul is completely focused on the eternal life that's found in Christ. And that hope, it just permeates the whole letter.
Yeah.
Giving it this incredible sense of resilience.
It's almost like a defiance of death, you know, an affirmation of life in the face of suffering. And this brings us to the section where Paul expresses his gratitude for Timothy and then makes this really powerful plea. This is where that whole idea of a clear conscience comes into play, right?
Yes. And Paul's emphasis on having a clear conscience, it wasn't just like personal reflection. It was a direct response to the accusations of treachery that were leveled against him. You see, he was being accused of abandoning his Jewish heritage by embracing Jesus.
Oh, wow. So he's not just saying, like, I'm trying to live a good life. He's saying, I'm not a traitor. My faith in Christ hasn't made me turn my back on my people.
Exactly. He's defending his integrity, his commitment to the truth as he understands it. And amidst all of that, he mentions Timothy's tears.
You know what always gets to me?
Looks at me.
Is how he mentions Timothy's tears without ever explaining why Timothy was crying.
Right.
It adds this whole layer of mystery, and you just wonder about, you know, the weight of what they were both carrying.
Yeah. It's a very humanizing detail. We see these, like, towering figures of the early church, and yet they're experiencing the same, like, raw emotions that we all do.
And then we get that beautiful description of Timothy's sincere faith inherited from his grandmother and mother.
Mm-hmm.
I love that detail because it shows how faith can be woven through generations.
Yeah.
You know, how our beliefs are often shaped by those who came before us.
It speaks to the power of legacy and the importance of passing on our values to future generations.
So we've got Paul facing death, yet brimming with hope. We've got this idea of a clear conscience as a defense against accusations of betrayal, and this beautiful image of faith being passed down through generations like some precious heirloom. Where do we go from here?
Next, we'll delve into Paul's powerful call to action, where he urges Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. This is where we really see the incredible powers of the Holy Spirit at work. This gift of God that Paul's talking about isn't just some kind of mystical ability. He's talking about the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
You see, the Greek word for gift, charisma, was used very specifically when they were talking about the Holy Spirit.
So how did that understanding of charisma back then differ from how we might use that word today?
Today, we often associate charisma with, like, personality or charm, maybe even, like, a magnetic stage presence. But in the context of the Holy Spirit, charisma refers to the very power of God working through us. It's the source of strength, love, and self-discipline, not timidity, as Paul emphasizes.
So he's telling Timothy, don't shrink back in fear. Embrace the power that's within you. It's a message that still resonates today, isn't it? I mean, we all face situations that require courage and resilience.
Absolutely. And Paul reminds Timothy that he's not alone in this struggle. He says that suffering for the gospel is a shared experience, a mark of true discipleship.
There's power in that shared experience, that sense of solidarity and purpose. It makes me think of that saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And after this pep talk, Paul dives into a reminder of the core tenets of their faith. He lays out these fundamental truths, almost like he's giving Timothy a solid foundation to stand on when things get tough.
It's interesting how he blends encouragement with instruction. It's not just about feeling good, you know. It's about grounding your faith in knowledge and understanding.
Exactly. And one of the most important truths that Paul emphasizes is that salvation is a gift from God, given by grace. It's not something that we can earn. It's freely given before the beginning of time.
That always just blows my mind, you know. This overwhelming sense of grace given before we even existed, it really reframes how we understand who we are in relation to God.
I think so. It really challenges the idea that we have to somehow earn God's favor. It's about surrendering to that unmerited grace and allowing it to transform us.
And of course, Paul reminds Timothy of Christ's victory over death through his resurrection. He describes it as bringing life and immortality to light. It's such a powerful image, this light piercing through the darkness of death.
It is. It's a message of hope and ultimate victory, even in the face of, like, immense suffering. And that brings us to a really interesting section where Paul talks about loyalty and disloyalty. He mentions how some people, even those he was close to, actually abandoned him.
That must have been so painful for him. I mean, what could possibly drive someone to abandon a friend, especially someone like Paul, who was facing such intense persecution?
It's a stark reminder that even in the context of faith and shared beliefs, relationships can be tested. It also highlights the complexities of human nature, how fear, self-preservation, even doubt can lead people to make choices that just seem incomprehensible to others.
It makes me think about the pressures those early Christians must have faced. Following Jesus wasn't just like a matter of personal belief. It could mean social ostracism, economic hardship, even imprisonment or death. It's easy to judge their choices from our comfortable position in history, but I can only imagine the courage it took to simply remain faithful.
Yeah, you're right. And while we may not face that same level of persecution today, there are still pressures, both internal and external, that can cause people to, like, waver in their beliefs or even abandon them altogether.
It's a reminder that faith isn't static. It's a journey with twists and turns and sometimes even detours.
Well said. And in contrast to those who abandoned Paul, we have the example of Onesiphorus, who actively sought him out in prison and provided support when he needed it most.
Yeah, that's such a powerful contrast. Onesiphorus represents that kind of unwavering loyalty and love that can make all the difference in someone's life, especially during those times of hardship. His actions are a testament to the power of true friendship and the impact that even just one person can have.
Exactly. It's a beautiful example of what it means to be a true brother or sister in Christ, to walk alongside someone through their darkest moments.
I'm struck by how Paul, even while facing his own death, is so concerned about Timothy's well-being and spiritual growth. He's like a father passing on his wisdom and legacy to his son, preparing him for the challenges ahead.
And that's what makes 2 Timothy so compelling. It's not just a theological treatise.
Yeah.
It's a deeply personal letter filled with emotion, wisdom, and this profound sense of love and responsibility.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground here. You know, from Paul's defense of his clear conscience
Right.
to that image of the Holy Spirit, this incredible image as a source of strength and courage, and the examples of loyalty and, you know, betrayal.
Yeah.
What stands out to you as like the most powerful takeaway from all of this, from this deep dive into 2 Timothy chapter 1?
I think for me, it's the way Paul just combines vulnerability with strength. Mm. You know, he doesn't shy away from his struggles or fears, but his faith just remains like unshakable. It's this reminder that even when we're facing huge adversity, we can still find hope and resilience through our connection to Christ.
It's like he's saying, look, I'm human. I mess up. I've experienced pain and loss, but none of that can diminish like the power of the gospel,
right?
Or the love of God that sustains me.
Exactly. And I think that is so encouraging for us today. You know, we all face challenges and doubts and setbacks, but Paul's example reminds us that we don't have to have it all figured out.
Right.
We can rely on God's grace and the support of other believers to help us get through.
What do you think Paul's message to Timothy, written, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, has to offer us today?
I think it's this timeless message about perseverance and integrity and unwavering faith. Paul's words, they challenge us to examine our own lives, to consider how we're using our gifts, and to stand firm in what we believe, even when it's hard.
And to be an Onesiphorus, you know, to those around us, to offer that support and encouragement to the people who are struggling.
Absolutely. We all need those people in our lives who will just stand by us no matter what, who will remind us of like our worth and encourage us to keep going when we just want to give up.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. I hope our listeners are feeling inspired to maybe explore 2 Timothy a little bit further on their own.
Yes.
And to really reflect on how Paul's message speaks to their lives today.
Me too. It's just a letter that's so full of wisdom and encouragement and like timeless truth. And it can really help us navigate the complexities of, you know, life and faith, even in our time today.
Until next time, keep seeking knowledge, keep asking those questions, and keep diving deep.